Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, we'll begin at verse number 1. We certainly desire your prayers. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Bow with us. Lord, we thank you for your word and your truth. How earnestly we pray that this truth would find its way deep in all of our hearts, that we recognize the essence of it, what it is that you're saying. Make it clear to us. Open it to us as only the Spirit of Christ can. We pray for the unction to deliver this truth, recognizing we're inadequate in every way. We trust you now as you know our need, and we ask that you would help us to not only be poor in spirit, humble and contrite, but Lord, to also be broken. We thank you for brokenness and for what it does. And we trust now that it will work this same way in all. We ask it believing as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Each of the Beatitudes are Christian graces. It's the principal graces of the Christian walk. Those things primary to what it means to be Christ-like. As we come to this particular one, it certainly is a strange statement when Jesus says to them, Blessed are they that mourn. Typically, we think folks to be fully satisfied when they're merry or happy or joyful or gleeful, something of that nature. And yet what we find Jesus saying here, a paradox again, is that it is those that mourn that are the most satisfied. These are obviously challenges to us as we read these things and we question what could he have meant. What spiritual truth lies at the depths of this? I was struck by truth as I was studying this last week, as I realized that in the scripture I find no place where Christ laughed. Not one. But I find many where he wept. He was a man of mourning and often wept for those things, no doubt, that touched his heart the most. Now there could have been times when Jesus laughed. There could have been many times when he experienced leisure of some sort or an ease that brought some type of laughter. We'll just have to ask him when we get there. For whatever reason, though, he found it not necessary to record it. But he did record that he mourned. Blessed are they that mourn. Those are fully satisfied who can weep, who in their heart have something that brings them to brokenness. As we think about the first one that we covered this morning and still encouraged me this afternoon as I thought about the importance of humbling ourselves before God, I was reminded of how it's linked directly to brokenness. Humility and brokenness go together. These two things are hand in hand. And I believe, as you'll see, I'll just read to you from Psalms chapter 51, where the psalmist said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You can see the importance of brokenness and contrition. Contrition being humility, but brokenness being something of its own. I wonder today how many of us are truly broken before God. There's a question that comes to my mind, and I often wonder if we think about those things like this, but should we live in mourning? I believe that there's an expectation when others see us that they not necessarily see the mourning, but they see the joy. But I want to share with you today what David wrote in the 126th Psalm. He said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." You see, there's times, and it's mostly our times that are private, that we mourn and we weep and we call out to God. What Jesus said here was, "Blessed are they, fully satisfied are those that are broken, those that are mourning, those who can weep, are willing to weep in behalf of someone else, those who truly understand that it's not in the mirth of this life that we find our satisfaction, but it's in the hard things that take us to God. The things that cause us to struggle, the things that break our hearts and draw us to that place of true surrender." You see, a man is never really surrendered until he's broken. And so we have to say that the greatest condition of our heart that could ever be is broken. Blessed are they that are broken. And I believe exactly what Jesus meant was that we find the fullest satisfaction when we allow ourselves to be broke down, to be brought to that place to where in our heart we are low. For you'll find that it is in the lowly of heart, it is in the broken that Christ rules, it is in the hearts of those that are in that distress, you find the greatest comfort of God coming. How many of us could say we know that this is true? We know that when the hardest times of our life were there, that Christ was then the greatest to us. Blessed are they that mourn. I want to look at some things tonight as we try to open this up and understand the truth. I believe that Jesus was suggesting to those that could hear it. Right? And I get the fact that the lost today cannot hear this truth. You can tell them this all day long, they'll never understand. Blessed are they that mourn. They'll never get this truth. But let's look a couple of different types of mourning. Number one is the type the world gives. May I say today that the Christian people are not the only people that mourn. Right? There is a mourning that comes from being associated with this world that is not the mourning he's talking about. That is not the weeping that he is referring to. There is a terrible price to pay for living in sin. And it will bring a great brokenness to you ultimately if you continue in it. But that's not the kind of weeping he's referring to. Certainly, godly sorrow leads to repentance, and that is where we're headed with this. But there is a price tag for sin. And people aren't truly sorry to God. They're sorry they're hurting. They're sorry that they've lost everything. They're sorry that their wife has left them. They're sorry that they have made poor choices. They're sorry because their condition is terrible. And they blame it on everything except the rightful cause, which is their own poor choices and the consequences of their own sin that has
come home to roost, and they have sorrow. There's people, you see, all around this world that are finding themselves right now in a pit of despair, but it's not godly. It's not a despair that leads them to Christ. It is a despair that looks to their own soul and pities themselves and causes them to continue in their own depression and to allow the enemy to rule in this type of mourning. No, this type of mourning is not the godly sorrow he refers to. This is the sorrow of the world. And I assure you, the world has plenty of sorrow to deal out. There's plenty of sorrow to go around in this awful place. But then there's this mourning that he refers to as a gracious mourning, a sorrow that comes to our heart, which is from God. How many of you would admit that God sometimes just troubles you? And he just brings you low. There's times when we pray that we don't understand the essence of what God is doing. And yet when he breaks within us that heart and he begins to lead us toward himself and we find ourselves weeping before him, that's when we can get close to God. And that's when we suddenly hear the clearest from him. And suddenly the word of God begins to grow in our heart. And we recognize that we're being drawn into that precious and holy place. A blessed place, a glorious place where the comfort of Christ comes and when it ministers unto our own soul and when in the deepest of our hearts we find that the mourning is the greatest, we can also experience a comfort that cannot be compared to anything in this world. Your family can't give it to you. Your children can't give it. Your spouse can't give it. The comfort of God can only come from God. And brother, when we get surrendered and broken to him, that's when we enter into that place that is blessed, that place where the fullest of satisfaction begins to rule in our hearts, a place that only mourning could have brought us to, a place that only sorrow could have led us. We find that in the sorrow that God gives, there's a natural mourning that takes place. Everybody's experienced this one. We lose someone in this world that was dear to us and we mourn. It's natural. But that's a mourning that occurs for the lost and the saved. But I would like to say that there's something about mourning. And if you're mourning the loss of someone that you loved, someone that was dear in whatever way, when you mourn the loss of someone for the child of God, I believe that that mourning is a friend to the mourning he refers to that I'm fixing to get into next, but I believe that's a friend to the children of God. You say, how can it be? Well, I've experienced it many times myself, that in the despair of my soul, as I mourned the loss of someone that I loved, I also experienced the Spirit of God that scooped me up. I experienced the power of God that brought me near to him. I experienced what he intended me to know, that in the loss, in the greatest of my loss, I can turn to him and I can find the comfort that I need. And I want you to know, he is that comfort. He is there. He has been there and he will always be there to those that weep. Oh, what a special place those that weep have in his heart. I believe he looks to those that are broken and contrite. I believe the Spirit of God is constantly ministering to those who truly are surrendered. Remind yourself this now of what we heard this morning. Pride, what a dangerous thing that it is. In contrast, may I also say that the opposite of weeping, the opposite of a godly sorrow, it is an unwillingness to weep. An unwillingness to be broken. Isn't it contrary to the nature of our flesh to break? Why is it that people fight back those tears? Why is it that people fight back that place that is so vulnerable? Isn't it just natural to the earthly man to be in charge? To not lose control, to not allow our heart to simply open up unto God and expose all of ourselves. Is not that what he's getting at? Isn't that what Christ is getting to? That the way to the inside of a man's heart is that when it is broken, it is then open, exposed, and surrendered unto God. Is that not where he wants us to be? Why do we reject that? Why do we fight so to not be broken? I'll suggest to you today that the greatest place of satisfaction you'll know with Christ is in your brokenness. Broken. In a place, you see, where we have nothing withheld from God. Where everything in us is opened up and exposed unto him and yielding unto him, surrendered unto him. Some would say, well, you're preaching that we live in a defeated lifestyle. No, I contend today that being broken is the victorious life, not the defeated one. I'm not walking around with my head hung down. I'm not walking around pining all the day long. No, you see, what I find in brokenness is that there is a comfort that comes. There is an immediate support that is enabling the believer, the very one that has exposed their soul in the same sense. There is a comfort that comes to us and it lifts us and it restores us day after day, time after time, multiple times through the day when we yield ourselves open and willing unto God, broken and usable. That's when God can do the most and the wondrous works within his own. How many of us are broken? It's not a very common condition today. I'll just say that. Those that have truly exposed themselves to God, they'll find that it creates all kinds of emotion in one. And there's all kinds of reactions from us. And mine may be different than yours. But regardless, you know when you're broke. And you know when you need to be. I want to suggest to you today that the most wondrous comfort you'll ever know is when you're at your lowest point. Isn't that when he comes in such precious ways and ministers unto us in spiritual ways that only he understands and knows? And you see, all this time you've kept him at bay. All this time you've built that hedge around you. And you have kept that from being exposed unto him. And yet the very instant that we yield ourselves open unto Christ, broken and weeping, exposing ourselves and our need to God, we'll find that comfort is there. Morning is true. I mean, everybody experiences mourning, but all the gracious mourning that comes from a godly sorrow. We can read in the book of 2 Corinthians of how the Apostle Paul wrote to them, and he said, I'm not sorry that you were sorrowed unto repentance. He said, because godly sorrow worketh repentance. And isn't that needful? I'll say to you today that until you're broken, you'll never repent. Oh, you can repent, but just as Judas, you'll not find what you're looking for. You'll miss it, you see, because brokenness is a key element to finding true forgiveness. The repentance that you're looking for comes from a godly sorrow. And I'll tell you right now, you best thank God for godly sorrow. You better thank God for every time that he was able to prick your heart and to break you down and to bring you to that place that you were low enough to look up and to cry out for that mercy, to seek the hand of God, to seek his comfort and his help for you. Listen, I'll tell you what's wrong with our country today. They live in their pride, not their humility, and they stand apart from God without a need from God as opposed to being broken and desperate for him. The broken and desperate of this world will find that he is there. Amen. He will be there. He said, blessed are they that mourn. For they that truly are broken,
to those who will allow themselves to be brought into that condition where the heart simply weeps and longs and yearns for God and cries out for the needs that it has. Do we not? Are we not desperate in every part of our life? Is there not always something in us that needs Him to be near? Is there not a desperateness of our soul that should be crying out in a brokenness unto God? God, help us to recognize when the walls start coming up and when the tears stop flowing and when our voice begins to cease and we begin to back away from God, how I pray that He breaks me and breaks me again until I am always exposed and flowing in His presence. Because only in the brokenness will we find the blessedness. You will not find the full satisfaction your soul longs for until you are broken. And you know what? Some people treat this as an annual event. May I suggest to you today that getting right with God's not something you do every Easter. What He wants for me, brother, is to be broken every day. That's what He's looking for. Now how have we done? Right? You still grading yourself now? You still checking? I think one of the greatest problems in the church today worldwide is that people aren't broken. They live in their satisfied lives. They live thinking they are self-sustaining when all the while we are desperate in nature. What we needed is that humility that it began with and then a brokenness that followed in pursuit of it, recognizing that a broken and contrite spirit He will never cast out. I don't know about you, but that's the condition I want to be in if that's what gets His audience. If that's what gets favor with God. If that's when I know I'm in His presence is to be broken and contrite, then may it be so every single day. And yet some of us, even now, as we're thinking about this, we think it is opposite of what the world expects to see. May I say to you today that what the world needs to see is truth. What the world needs to recognize is not somebody pining away their life because, oh, woe is me. That's not the kind of brokenness I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is a person that understands they're a sinner and recognizes their need for a Savior and submits unto Him daily for the needs to be supplied. And yet, day after day. Right? Tell me it ain't so. Day after day. People plod along in their own life. They do what they want, they do when they want, and they do everything they want. And you know why? Because they're not broken. Look around you. Got 200 and something people on the roll of this church. Look around you. You know why people ain't here? They don't want to be here. And that speaks to what? Their heart. What's wrong with their heart? It's not broken. No, it's not broken. It needs nothing from God. It goes on its own little merry way. And the devil ensures them every day that they're fine. They don't have to do anything. And every day they grow a little more cold, a little more indifferent to God. Let me warn you today of the importance of this truth. You have to be broken to get close to God. You can't in your pride, in your selfish nature, in your self-sustaining attitude that everyone would insist you need, you cannot find the peace of God you're looking for. You need to be broken. I contend today that each one of us can live in a broken spiritual life and yet be the favorite of the crowd. How in the world is that possible? You'll never be right until you're broken before God. But it is when we're right that our soul is the most joyous, is it not? I say to you today that every day we need to get right. Not on Sunday. That's not when you get right with God. You get right every day.
You go before God every day. You find that time and you get that opportunity to be intimate with God and quiet with God and exposed unto God. And if you come to God, here's what I can assure you, of a humble heart and a contrite spirit, you'll find that He will meet with you. When you experience God in that way, then you grow. Then you are comforted. Then you are strengthened. And as you step out into that time when you're exposed to others around you, they see the power of God. They witness the glory of His comfort. They see that there's something different about this man. Something different. And yet all the while, you're living but broken and humble before God. What Jesus said is fully satisfied. Is the man who is truly broken. What a terrible thing that we've allowed our minds to be conditioned to the fact that words like humble and broken are negative. When Christ Himself, when he exposed this truth, they couldn't hear it. They were deaf spiritually. They couldn't hear it. And yet what He was trying to say was something that was radically different. What He was trying to share with them was something that was completely spiritual. And here's the truth for you. Apart from you dying to yourself, right? It's the pride of life. And allowing the Spirit of God to break in you every hard thing, you're going to miss what full satisfaction truly is. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, and blessed are they that mourn, humble and broken. Is that you? Now, I wouldn't want to ask your neighbor if that's you, right? Because it's not really your neighbor's opinion that matters. What matters is that when you meet with God, does He see you as humble and broken? Does He see you as your soul exposed and surrendered? Does He see you as an instrument, a tool that has been yielded unto God in every way? May I say to you today that until you're broken, you will not yield to the obedience required for Christ. Is that you? Where are we today? Blessed are they that mourn. Everybody mourns. What He was talking about was those that truly are broken on the inside, that allow themselves daily, right? Not annually or every now and then, but they allow themselves daily to be exposed to God in a way that His Holy Spirit can touch a part of our life and fix it, or help it, or strengthen it. People want to be satisfied. They want to be satisfied in every way, and yet what Jesus is giving in these eight attitudes, these eight principal graces of the Christian life. These are the things that Jesus said it starts with. It starts with being poor in spirit, humble before God, and then we must be broken. And it's when we're broken that we will find the command of His blessing is enacted. What is it that keeps us from being broken? I'll try to close with this. What is it that keeps us from finding that place where true surrender is given unto God? What are you holding back? What one thing do you not want God to mess with? And so you shield that and you guard that. And you keep that from God. And all the while it's the Holy Spirit that's knocking on that hard shell. That's trying to get you to release your ownership of that. Trying to get you to turn loose of that one thing that keeps you from being all His. That one thing that divides your affection. That one thing that leads you astray. That one thing that constantly trips you up from day to day. He wants us to recognize we need Him. And to be broken. Broken. And call on Him. The world today is certainly not broken. They run around in the pride and the arrogance of their own flesh,
declaring and demanding all these rights they really don't have. And they do it all because their heart is proud and unyielding to God. And yet what Christ was saying to them is to be radically different from the world. Is to be humble, not proud. To be broken, not whole. It's not an indictment to weakness or negative position to be in. Let me be as clear as I can. If you're not broken, you're not right. Period. You can't be right. You can plod on in your own self-reliance and self-worth, and what you'll find at the end of the day is that you missed the mark completely. Now, I don't know how to break you. That's not my business. But oh, how he knows. If I'm yielding and willing, just like that, he can melt my heart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Just like that, he can melt every defense that I have, every fear, every inhibition, every worry. But I've got to be willing. I've got to be willing to say those words that nobody wants to say. Lord, break me. I'm seeing anybody running to the altar right now. Make me what I need to be. God uses the broken. He takes those things that are already broken, and that's what he begins to form the glorious from. That's what he creates the vessels of honor from, is those pieces that are broken. Listen, if you don't need a physician, he won't come. But it's those that recognize they're sick. It's those that recognize their need of Christ that brings the Spirit of God and looses it in us, to produce in us the greatest of joy, the fullest of satisfaction in the very simple truth that we yield ourselves to be broken before God. Over and over we find in the Scripture examples of men who were simply yielded to God in a broken and a contrite spirit. And God's no respecter of persons. And he still today responds to the broken. Here's the promises. He said, blessed are they that mourn. There's a blessing in this sorrow, this godly sorrow that worketh repentance in us. Are we all willing to admit we need to repent every day? Every day. Then we must also confess that there is a need for us to be broken every day. Because you can't truly repent until you're broken of it. Until there is a godly sorrow that works the repentance in you that brings the forgiveness and the comfort of God. Surely every one of us would raise our hand if I asked, and you would say, I know what it feels like to be forgiven. Does anybody think that's pretty awesome? I mean, there's a lot of feelings that a person can have, but being forgiven, that's got to be up there at the top for me. That my sins are gone. I am forgiven. You see, the blessing of brokenness is now. Because when I am broken, I can constantly be yielding unto God my repentance, and there will be a constant flow of his forgiveness, and that is worth more than anything in this world. That is a blessing now. Now. I weep now for souls now. Who are living in sin now and are unyielding to Christ. They're miserable. They're miserable. I wouldn't trade spots with them for any amount of money. No, I'd rather live broken. I'd rather live in mourning. You see, my prayer to God, it's not one that says, thank you, God, that I'm like so or I'm not like so. No, my prayer is pretty simple. God, help me. Help me. And that comes from a brokenness that He generates from the Holy Spirit that is within me. And that brings joy. Because you'll never experience God and His forgiveness without you leave different than when you came. It is the brokenness that you submitted unto God that gave Him the opportunity to cleanse and purge and send you in the newness of that hope. I don't know about you, but I want to live in that joy. Right? You turn on the news, you'll live in depression. But if you get broken before God, He'll make you new every day. He'll renew your hope and He'll renew your joy and He'll give you that right mind and that right spirit. Isn't that what David prayed for? Restore in me the joy of thy salvation. How did he get it? He finally broke. Read the 51st Psalm. He finally broke. He finally poured his heart out to God and wept and said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That's when God began to renew and to restore the heart of the psalmist. See, brokenness is necessary. And so Jesus, I believe, quite importantly brings number two to light. As number one was clearly humility, number two was clearly brokenness. An ability to truly be sorrowful before God, sorrowful for our own sin, sorrowful for the sin of our people, weeping in a way that brings our heart exposed unto God. And that's when the Spirit does its greatest work. The blessing is now, and the blessing is to come. Remember, I said this morning that in each one of the Beatitudes, there are two promises linked to it. One is that you're blessed currently, and two is that you're blessed eternally. Blessed are they that mourn. As we close, come and get a song. Blessed are they that mourn. For what did he say? For they shall be comforted. Now notice that's future tense, right? The word itself, the way he worded the blessing was, is that there was not only blessed are the broken, right? Inferring that there is a blessing right now, a full satisfaction that we receive when we are truly humble and broken before God. Everyone of you know this is true. But there is a comfort coming that I can't describe. Of all the things that heaven will be, no pain, no sin, no suffering. He said there will be no sorrow there. And he said that God will wipe away all your tears. I will never weep in sorrow again. Ever. Listen to me. For the child of God, the greatest of satisfaction will come in your brokenness before God every single day. That's now. That's right now. Living the good life is broken. But there's a day coming that eternally we will be in a comfort that cannot be compared to here. A
a comfort in which he will wipe away all my tears forever. Never will I sorrow again. What a wondrous truth. Blessed are they that mourn. Stand with us.